The Rockets annihilate the Jazz again last night at Toyota Center, 118-98 Utah. Unable to handle James Harden again, he led all scorers with 32 points, and he put up a triple-double.
He just reads what they give him, and just sometimes an individual, not that it's a scheme, it's just how they're guarding him or who's guarding him, and he gets a step back or he goes. And I mean, he was shooting the ball so well at first that I think he went to a step back a couple more times just because he's shooting it so well. He just kind of feels what he's got and what he's got for that night, and if it's going in, he'll do that more often. If not, he'll drive. He just figures out the, you know, whatever way. He's a machine. He just scores.
That was obviously Mike D'Antoni. Harden, second straight game with exactly 10 assists. Game 3 is on Saturday night as the Rockets lead this best of 7, 2-0. Does this series end in Utah?
This series ends in Utah. I'll be disappointed if it's not a clean sweep. And everything that D'Antoni was saying right there about James Harden, I think Quinn Snyder said it even better because he said he's like artificial intelligence, that he just kind of, he sees something, he learns it, he changes his game accordingly, and then boom, off you go. And I think he's gotten so good at it over the course of the season because people have thrown so many things at him. And I think those injuries might have been, as we were saying at the time, like the silver lining of having to go through all that stretch with all those injuries were that Harden saw everything teams did to try to stop just him when he was the only guy out there. Now he's got real outlets and real options. And when PJ Tucker's hitting his threes, when Clint Capella is playing defense the way he was playing defense, there's almost no way to stop them. This has been really fun to watch. These have been a couple of the most enjoyable blowouts to watch.
Yeah.
To where it was still fun.
Not a lot of
even
stress.
But not even that. It's
cool moments.
Yeah. Like they're still, you know why?
Beautiful highlights.
Why? Because they're still playing hard when they have the lead. Like Clint Capella, I'm going to be so incredibly proud of that kid because I still think of him as a kid. You know, I still think of him as that like skinny, gangly Swiss kid. But he's grown into a full grown man, and watching the way he's playing in this series, if he can step it up that one extra level to where it has to be a more physical challenge and battle versus the Warriors in the playoffs, that's going to be awesome. And that's what I'm looking forward to more than anything is watching Clint Capella versus the Warriors.
Paul, does the series end in Utah?
The series is over now. It is done. There will be no more games played because there's no chance. The Utah Jazz are done. It's over. Yes, it ends in Utah. I understand they have to play 4 games. Honestly, Utah should abdicate.
Abdicate. I'm actually going to be the lone detractor. I think Utah will have a really good effort in one of these 2 games, and then I'll actually hit some threes because they've been deplorable shooting from deep, and I think the series will come back, but the Rockets will win in 5.
You do not have the ability to run as one. Shame. Very shameful. By the way, I hate how they shame people into wearing those t-shirts.
They're very baggy
and not form-fitting and don't look great.
The haters gonna hate, Harden gonna harden t-shirt. That's my good t-shirt.
Well, that's a good t-shirt.
Like, that's one thing the Houstonians, I think they're starting to do a better job of. They finally figured it out this year. Like, oh yeah, embrace the hate. Like, it's good to be hated.
Yes.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping, as that one fella said. Like, embrace the fact that people hate James Harden. It means that they're thinking about him and, he's haunting them in their nightmares.
The Texans schedule has been released. They've got 3 primetime games. They start with one on the road in New Orleans, Monday Night Football. They host the Colts on Thursday night in week 12 and then the Patriots on Sunday Night Football in week 13. What does it tell you guys about this team that the NFL gave them 3 primetime football games?
Well, I mean, I think they want to see a little bit more before they would give them 5.
I feel the same way.
You know, look, the primetime games.
Five's a lot. Patriots have 5.
Yeah, teams like the Cowboys. Patriots are going to be there. Teams like the Cowboys are going to be there. The Steelers being in primetime a couple of times, that's a little surprising because I don't think they're very good. They want to see a little more. I think that they've realized that over the past couple of years, typically when the Texans have played on national television, it has not gone so well. This year, they could change a lot of opinions nationally against the Saints and against the Patriots, though I'm not expecting it to happen.
The Steelers only have 3?
I think the Steelers have a couple.
Excuse me, the Steelers? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, do I really need to see them?
Yeah, but no, the Steelers will have a bunch of primetime games even if they're awful. That's why I'd be surprised if they only have a couple.
I feel like they've always been so good that's part of the reason why they're always in primetime.
But no, I mean, they've got a national, they're one of those national fan base teams.
No, I understand that.
So much of it.
The sports bars. They're all over the place. They're maggots.
Well, so much of this is designed for television, which is obvious. And that's a big part of the reason why the Steelers are on TV as much as they are. Plus, I actually think they will be pretty good, and they still have a good quarterback. This tells me that the NFL feels the Texans will be exciting and interesting, but they're not fully sold. I do feel good that they're hosting the Colts in primetime and the Patriots in primetime. The crowds should be good for those games.
It's the thing that I think the nation remembers better than we do here locally, and this is why the Texans have as many primetime games as they do, is Deshaun Watson. I mean, look, Deshaun Watson has a credibility to him and an excitement about him that even though last year was a little bit of a step back compared to where people expected he was going to be, people get excited about seeing Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins.
And they
like,
should be.
That's the one thing that I think I sometimes forget to be grateful for. Having Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins is kind of a big deal. You know, like DeAndre Hopkins has fought and scrapped his way into being a top three receiver in the NFL when nobody, other than Seth Payne thought that he would be. Seth Payne and Greg Cassell, we're the only two.
Astros and A's last night. Matt Chapman was the difference against Wade Miley.
Get him back in to Chapman. Left center, and that baby's gone. Well, just waiting for the opportunity, sitting on that cutter. 87 right into the wheelhouse for the chapstick. And you know what you're going to get. You come soft to the big righty. All aboard. Next stop, Pound Town.
All right. Calm down, A's guy. Calm down, A's guy. The A's did win. That would hold up to be the difference. 2-1 was the final as the Astros' 10-game winning streak was snapped as the chapstick got the eventual game-winning homer. I'm still feeling really good, though, and one of the main reasons I'm feeling good about this team, I mean, obviously, they've won 10 games in a row. They're really good. They won the World Series 2 years ago. You guys all know that, but McHugh, how he's been pitching, and despite losing that game, Wade Miley, 4 turns through the rotation, at least from his standpoint, and he has an ERA of 3.32, so I feel good about where we are a couple weeks into the season from a starting pitching standpoint.
I was really cautious going into the season because I didn't want to have a lazy opinion that the Astros pitching coaching staff just takes guys and gets the absolute best out of them. But now it's beyond the point of no return. Like, that's just flat out what they do. You might as well take any player, look at his best year that he's had before he got to the Astros and assume that's what he's going to get and maybe a little bit better. Oh yeah. And probably like with Charlie Morton, he'll stay healthier than he's been too. That's just what it is. That's how it works when they come here. As multiple people throughout baseball have now grudgingly acknowledged, that pitching coaching staff just flat out knows what they're doing better than anybody else. So that's why I wasn't panicking at all about the starting pitching this year. I didn't expect the bullpen to be as good as it is right now. But I couldn't be happier about the state of Astros pitching. It's awesome. I was reading an article yesterday talking about the fact that Kimbrel and Keuchel still remain unsigned. And the quote was this: despite the fact that every team in the league, except for the Astros, really could use an extra pitcher right now, these two guys are still out there. They're the only team in the league right now where you could feel really good about the pitching. That's how scary good they could be this year.
I mean, the bats are due to cool down. They did 4 hits last night. And, I mean, if Wade Miley's only giving up a home run to Tracy Chapman, then you know what? Good job. You know, when you give up a home run to Dwayne Lee Chapman, it's not that big a deal. By the way, Dwayne Lee Chapman's Dog the Bounty Hunter. I was just looking up famous Chapmans because I like to get names wrong of somewhat relevant baseball players that play for irrelevant teams.
The Browns are getting 4 primetime games this year, guys. 3 of them are coming in the first 5 weeks of the season. Cleveland will play the Jets on Monday night in week 2. They'll face the Rams on Sunday Night Football in week 3. Are you buying into the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham in 2019?
I buy into those guys as individuals. I'm not buying into Freddie Kitchens. I feel like this is the one big thing that everybody's ignoring is that you know almost nothing about their head coach other than that things got kind of better.
He likes Baker.
And
Baker likes
how much
him.
Of it was Freddie Kitchens versus how much of it was Baker Mayfield that they had that boost? And by the way, the Browns lost a bunch of overtime games before. Like, say what you want about Hugh Jackson, they were close to being a competitive team when he was let go. It's not like Freddie Kitchens took them from being just a completely abysmal team. I don't know how Freddie Kitchens is going to handle all that with Odell Beckham Jr.
So many moving parts, a lot of individual stars, but I can't buy into a team with that history where everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop and a brand new head coach. I do look forward, though, to seeing them on national TV because that should be a lot of fun.
They're in a really tough division. The AFC North is good. I mean, I don't think the Steelers are going to be great this season, but the Steelers are still the Steelers. Baltimore, we'll see where they go, but they have improved their defense, I think, bringing in Earl Thomas, even though they lost some guys. And Cincinnati's never terrible. They're just there.
And they could be better with a new head coach. That'll do it for headlines. Mike Sethenpaul on a Thursday. All right, so we have given the story, and we'll recap it here, because Paul had a very big weekend. He turned 30. He wore a costume, and things ensued.
Yeah, so on Saturday, we had our pub crawl for cancer. The night finishes up at third floor. I am, you know, having a couple of drinks, and I've noticed someone who is just absolutely stunning, who happened to be within, like, our close proximity to me. And I struck up a conversation with her. We talked for, like, 10, 15 minutes, went our separate ways for a little bit, then talked for another 10 minutes, and then went our separate ways again. And before I left to go to a restaurant, I said, all right, I got to grab her number. I forced myself to go over, get her number before we ended up leaving. Got her number, and after she gave me her number, she gave me a handshake while I said goodbye. And the handshake somewhat rattled me. It had me thinking to myself, wait a second. Who the hell gives a handshake in 2019? I'm fairly certain that when you're in a non-work area and you meet someone that may be sexually attracted to you, yeah, that they're going to go in for, at the very least, a side hug the first time that you guys interact and hang out with
one
another.
Was it a two-hand handshake?
It was a one-hand handshake.
It was
handshake.
One-hand, like you just closed a mortgage or something.
It was, I mean, I was drunk, and yeah. I was struck by the handshake.
If it was a two-hand handshake, I would run away.
Are you positive she wasn't asking you to kiss her hand? That would have been the baller move. Or maybe the Me Too move. I don't know. But it was
the Biden move.
There's a good, depending on what angle the camera was, that might not look good at all.
No. No, not at all.
So we were kind of wondering, McClain felt like Paul was friend zoned completely.
Oh, a lot of people did. I put a poll up on Twitter and on my Instagram, at Gallant Says, where they all seemed to think that I was put into the friend zone. Right. But I am not one to give up. I am a persistent idiot. And I thought to myself, okay, well, what's the typical rule? You wait, what, 2-3 days or so? You make a phone call.
Big move.
If you really want to set yourself apart, you make a phone call. Now, the last time I made a phone call, eventually I got a date with the person. It took a while, though. It took me being incredibly annoying to actually get the person out on the date, and I think that it was largely done to get me to shut the hell up. But here is the – I went to the studio. I got on the phone in front of a microphone, and I recorded myself leaving a voicemail. Jeez.
Hey, it's Paul, not a telemarketer from Florida, like you probably think seeing the area code, from Saturday night at the Crawl for Cancer. Or maybe it was Saturday day. Anyway, I'm the giant eyebrowed radio guy who was either crazily dressed or really, really pulling off short shorts, disasto. Not to be cheesy, I literally may have been lost in your eyes at some point during all of that drinking. They are truly incredible. And because of that, and also because I thought we had a great conversation, I am calling to ask you out on I was hoping you'd want to go to maybe 7 o'clock or something like that. I hope that you're having a great week and look forward to talking to you soon. All right. Bye.
All right. So it seemed pretty formal to me. Seth, what did you think?
It seemed like a sports take. Almost, but not in a bad way. I'm trying to put myself in this young lady, the handshaker's position. I think the handshaker might be impressed by the uniqueness of it. It didn't sound like a normal callback. You sounded both confident and awkward at the same time, which is intriguing to women. They like a certain amount of awkwardness and lack of confidence, but at the same time, you could tell that you got verbal skills and you're a confident guy. But that's the key. You sounded like a confident guy made a little bit less confident because of her, which
because of the handshake.
Yeah, the I don't know about the lost in the eyes part. I think that might have been going a little too far.
I mean,
given the tone of the call.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It was a little off the
tone. Her eyes are ridiculous. I can't describe them vividly enough.
What color are they?
They're like this yellowish green, but they are radiant. Like I swear to God, are
yellowish green.
It's an incredible color.
Ocho says he was good with it, not bad. And I think Ocho back in his day was pretty good with the ladies. Yeah.
All right. So the text line 713-572-4610 is split so far. One guy says too wordy. Yeah. Another guy says voicemails and phone calls is too formal. I don't agree.
Another guy agrees with me. He said you sounded really nervous and like someone really trying to sell it, but I think you got a good shot. Girls like that stuff. Girls love if they make you nervous. But not if you sound like a P word because of it. Like, you got to be nervous, but not a P word.
I always like to sound a little self-deprecating because I feel like if I sound like a giant, like, arrogant D-bag, that's that, even though sometimes I come off like that on the radio, that is actually not me, like, surprisingly.
Hey, this is Paul Gallant. I describe myself, but you remember me.
What and, about, I noticed you were, you what noticed time, my dog.
I don't know what time you wanted
short
me to,
shorts.
What time you wanted me to pick you up Saturday night.
What about the,
I'm available from 5 to 7. No sooner, no later.
What about the strategy of asking her on a specific date? Because if I were doing this, I would have called and said, hey, you know, Mike. From
I feel like
Saturday
that's
nights.
The power move. I feel like to actually give a specific plan. It's like, hey, I got a plan. Let's do it.
Got a plan. Okay.
Because yep.
I might have said, hey, it's Mike from Saturday. I'd like to take you out sometime.
Well, if yeah, that's a fair point. But if she calls in at a I feel like if she calls back, I could be like, oh no, sorry, I got plans. You know?
No, don't.
Like, no. I mean, if she's saying, oh, could you do Saturday? It's like, no, I got plans. Although my plans on Saturday are literally like to watch the Rockets game and hang out with my cat. Cause I can't drink this weekend.
But you can still go out and just not drink.
I don't know what you do on a date where you can't drink. Other, like, actually, after the coffee date. Like, I can understand a coffee date, but
you
after
you,
that.
You know what you actually do? You shut up and listen. That's what you do.
Oh, yes. It.
Paul, you just gotta shut up and listen.
All right? Listen once in a while.
Probably, I'm guessing you, like almost every other person on earth, gets a little too chatty when you're drunk, especially because you're a chatty person to begin with. So, if there's one thing that, impresses women more than anything else on earth, it's this, if somebody's actually listening to them. And there's a really good chance that you're actually gonna probably be the best listener you've ever been on a date because you won't have any alcohol in your system. So that's what you'll do. And I'll
be fidgety,
Paul,
though.
Paul, this is the advice, honestly, it's the most basic advice you could ever give to somebody. And it's almost like one of those things that it's too simple to be true, but just actually listening to people is like the most astoundingly powerful and impressive thing you can do. And it never feels like a person would even notice it, but it's the thing they notice most. It's like, oh, this person's actually listening to me. I like them because of it.
Is this a Mad Radio Paul Gallant problem?
No, it's a human problem. It's a human
issue
problem.
With all of us.
It's a
sure.
constant problem that I have, obviously.
We all have that.
In real life, I'm a much different person, like, in terms of listening and talking, like, on the radio. Like, I'm not interrupting people in real life. But it is. It's, like, the most my life changed completely, like, when I read a book about listening. And it, like, changed my interpersonal relationships. It changed everything. I, like, luckily had met my wife right around the same time. And, like, it changed probably how our relationship would have gone, just listening. So I think this experiment of yours without drinking alcohol, of not drinking alcohol, might change your life completely. You're going to go out on a date with this young lady. You're going to address the handshake and have a good laugh over it. And then you're going to find out what she does. Do you know what she does for a living? Or you don't want to say on air?
I don't want to say on air.
She's a stripper?
No, she's not a stripper. I don't want to give too many right, details. Right. I already feel like I'm putting a lot out there for her. And I imagine that's not helping me out a whole lot. Say this gets around to
her. Especially when you're going to live stream the date.
Yes.
Yeah exactly. Live. I'm going to wire myself.
Ultimate verdict. I still think Paul has a shot with this lady.
I will keep you posted. The voicemail was authentic. Like, I actually heard a name. That was the thing I was wondering is if she gave me like a fake number or something like that. It's a real person.